On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast coming your way right now. JP Finley is here. Rich Tandler is here. Go ahead.
No. What up?
Getting so good at this thing, RT. We are ready to talk Skins Raiders. It is. It's serious. Sunday night will be here before we know it. This is a huge opportunity for the Redskins to win a game in primetime, get a winning record, show the NFL that they can hang with one of the best teams in the league.
Reminds me of the Packers game last year. Although it's earlier in the season.
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Reminds me a lot of that. You know,
which was their best game of last season.
Yes.
By far, I would say.
Right. No doubt. So Sunday nights, you know, non-Monday nights.
Monday night, they
have not been
terrible.
Bad. Yes. But Sunday nights, they haven't been too bad.
Gosh, there's a lot to talk about. I am guessing, so full disclosure, we're recording this Thursday night. If I had to guess, I think everybody's going to play, including Jordan Reed.
Yes, I think they'll all be available.
Obviously, that can always change. People can have setbacks. What the Redskins did so well against the Rams was run the ball. Rob Kelly's going to go, but he's going to be hurting. He's got a rib injury that the only panacea, the only medication for is rest, and he's not going to rest it.
Right.
They got bigger pads on there, but that ain't rest.
Right.
I think Josh Norman is more hurt than we believe. I think he's going to play, but I think it might limit his ability somewhat.
Yeah, if he doesn't have range of motion in that shoulder or strength in that shoulder like he normally does, that certainly can affect your play.
We'll stay on defense. Mason Foster, what a wild story, dude.
I mean, I don't know. I think to these guys, a shoulder popping out is like, you know,
not a big deal.
Knuckle popping out.
Right. But what was funny is there was the report that Mason Foster had sought a second opinion and might miss this week. Yeah. Mason said, no, that's incorrect.
My guy who hasn't had a real good track record on the Redskins lately.
Skins beat's been tough.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mason's probably going to go. The young safeties, DeShazer Everett and Monte Nicholson. I've talked to both. I think both are going to play. I think Monte's trending towards the starter. I know that they said last week he started because they opened a nickel, and then DeShazer played in the base when they were out there in the 3-4. But you don't really change the safety in those situations.
Yeah, no, Nicholson played 26 snaps. I didn't see exactly when he went out, but that was about the first quarter and a half. Give or take, maybe towards the end of the second quarter, and I think that's about when he went out.
And he's got speed, and the secondary doesn't have it.
And against the Raiders, you need it.
Right. You got Crabtree, and you got Cooper.
And don't forget about Cordrell or whatever, Patterson.
The kid from the Vikings?
Yes.
But aren't they lining him up at, like, running back?
Yeah, but you still they'll stick him at wide receiver.
Right.
He's not very effective there. He still doesn't know how to run routes, but he can run straight.
What's a route?
Route.
The square route. All right. What is the bigger? I tried to ask Greg Minuski this in an interview that we're actually going to play that interview here. Maybe we'll see. Nope, we're not. I'm thinking out loud here. Sorry about that, everybody. Because we've got a really good interview with Will Brinson coming up right after Tandler and I that you guys are going to enjoy. So, Tandler, what's the bigger threat from the Raiders to the Redskins defense? Marshawn in the run game or Derek Carr in the pass game?
I think the pass game is by far. I'm you know, I think Lynch.
He's had two good games.
Averaging 4 a carry, which is good. It's not great. You know, I think he, and again, he's had two good games against, well, at least one horrible team. The Titans, I think, are pretty.
Yeah, the Jets are terrible.
Right. The Jets are terrible. The Titans, I think, are decent defensively.
I think the Titans are kind of good.
Okay. Well, we'll see. They lost at home to these guys, so.
Right.
You know, well, and, you know, they had the, that was a 1 o'clock game, all the advantages going against the Raiders as far as the time zone went, and the Raiders still run pretty handily. So we'll see how, you know, we don't really know who's good yet and who's not yet.
Agreed. Certainly agree with that. And that, I would say we don't know if the Skins are good or not.
Right. Oh, exactly.
I mean, I think if you've only watched the two games and you didn't know last year that they were kind of good, I think you would have to trend towards they're not very good yet because they were not good against the Eagles. Defensively, they were right now you would think their defense is pretty good and their offense is pretty bad.
Yeah.
If you were grading
at least their passing game's pretty bad.
If you were grading both units, so through two games, and let's try to step out of ourselves who know this team so damn well. Let's try to just be, hey, I watched both games on television at the bar. I live in Iowa. Here's my grades on the Redskins. Offensively, the run game maybe gets a B- because they were terrible the first week and they were quite good. I think the pass game's getting a C- right now, maybe a C.
I could even give it a D.
Right. Well, you're a hard grader, and I try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
It's A or F.
Right. You're binary Tandler. Tandler, you were never the student in college that like missed a couple quizzes and had to try to sweet talk a TA or anything.
Never, ever.
I was that guy very often.
I'm stunned.
I mean.
I'm stunned to learn that, JP.
You know, let me do extra credit. But I graduated in 4 years, I'll have you know. By the time I figured everything out, I took 22 credits my final semester of college. I had to get a pass from the dean to do it. But C's get degrees, man. All right. So we are saying run game gets a B-. I say C- for the pass game. You say D?
Yeah.
All right. So overall, that gives the offense maybe a C plus.
C, right.
I think overall the offense has been a C.
Is it even average?
Numbers wise, I bet it's about average.
Yeah, it's probably in the middle of the pack.
Neither of us have our computer. We're kind of flying blind on this podcast, which is a very odd feeling for me. I keep messing with my fingers.
That's okay.
And I think we're almost better not having the numbers in front of us because that might sway how we think. So. Let's say the offense is a C. Maybe it's a low C, but it's not quite a C-.
Right.
I think going into the season, you and I both expected this offense to be a B at least.
Yeah.
Well, I would say a B, B plus.
Okay. B, A minus, B plus.
Well, dude, the A offenses are going to be the Steelers, the Falcons, the Pats.
Well, I thought they might. Well, I'm not sure. I mean, they were.
I thought there was going
there
to be
in
a,
terms of yards gained
you gotta
last
score.
Year, but they had to get right, and I thought they would score better.
I said
and they still could score.
Sure,
score more
that's the thing. There's a ton of football left, but I said repeatedly throughout camp that it's going to take some time with Pryor and Doxson, and they weren't going to come out firing like they did with Deshaun and Pierre.
Right,
I contend,
of course they didn't even come out firing with Deshaun and Pierre.
Sure, I contend that losing Sean McVay matters. You and I argued about this on our last podcast. We don't need to go down this road again. All right, so we got the offense at a C. I think we both agree they should be playing at least a letter grade higher.
Yes.
Defensively, they're overperforming what we expected. I thought they'd be better, but they're better than what I thought they'd be.
Well, if they were, you think they were a D last year?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd say they're a C plus to B minus.
Yeah, that sounds fair. And what's funky is that I wouldn't say the pass. You can't divide it up like you can the offense because I don't know that the run defense has been pretty good.
Yeah, under 75 yards a game, I believe.
The pass defense is just giving up big plays. Really, I mean the big play to that tight end, the big play to Gurley, and truly that was just Gurley making explosive plays. You can't really defend that.
Yeah,
I mean, he jumped over two defenders. You know, sometimes a guy makes a big play and you just tip your hat. But if the defense can keep performing at a B-minus and the offense can step it up, if you remember when we wrapped the podcast in L.A. from that terrible tunnel we were in, we said, hey, Redskins fans, smile. Things are not dreary. And I think, unfortunately, this week kind of got taken over by first Sua Cravens and then RG3 and Santana and all that nonsense.
And that might have taken over some of you.
Oh, RT, you're just so... How tall is the horse you rode in on? But regardless of you, if you cared about it or not, it was a part of the conversation when the conversation should have been, if anybody heard Tandler whispering, he was telling me we have 5 minutes left. So.
Right.
You got to remember, now we're in a very nice podcast studio. Right. I haven't set the location yet. Tandler and I are staring awkwardly at one another diagonally across a table in the CSN studios. We had a big meeting here. Are we allowed to talk about what that meeting was about?
I think it's come out. Yeah.
We are rebranding. We're not going to be CSN in like a week, two weeks.
The day of the Chiefs Monday night game.
The day of the Chiefs Monday night game is when we become, Tandler, drum roll.
NBC Sports Washington.
You got to let the drum roll develop, dude. All right. He did good. NBC Sports Washington. Yes. Hopefully we get some new clothes.
Well, either that or we're going to have to wear our own because we can't wear the CSN.
I was wondering where you were going with the either that. I don't know. It was bad enough I put that topless picture on Instagram, dude. I don't know that we need to go on television like that. All right, so for me, and I wrote this, and I got some feedback. The Skins offense has been somewhere between underwhelming and underachieving, I would say, through two games.
Right.
They have got to be at their best to beat Oakland, and they are capable of doing it.
I don't know. Are they capable of flipping a switch and putting it? They probably got to score 30 points. Now, they scored 27 against the Rams, so that's not really that high a mountain.
Right.
You know,
it's not flipping a switch. It's just connecting on passes. It's Kirk making better passes. It's receivers catching the ball. It's not giving up big plays. Rob Kelly did a good job in that game, but don't run at the safety. Run to the sideline, get 15 more yards. You know, I mean, the offense is almost there. I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker, but Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins all week said, we're almost there, we're really close. And if you go back and you watch these games, I think they're right.
Yeah, but the question is, do you all of a sudden start catching passes? They all of a sudden start connecting?
I tell you what you got to do is throw to Josh Doctson. And I asked Jay Gruden about it. He said, yeah, we might have some specifically designed plays for him. He said, we'll try. You've got to get that guy involved.
Yeah.
He's a playmaker.
Yeah.
All right, this leads us pretty well into our over-unders. We set them on Wednesday. We're going to pick our sides now. I'll get it started, Tandler. The over-under for Kirk Cousins, and this was a user-submitted over-under, so we really appreciated that. And, guys, send us over-unders. Go ahead.
Yeah, they can be anything.
They can be, and we don't have to do three of them. If you start coming up with a bunch of cool ones, we can do more than three. We probably only do three for TV, but we can do a lot on the podcast. And this one was on Kirk Cousins' passing yards, and the dude did research on it. We talked about it Wednesday. So the number is 265 yards. I am going over. I think Kirk finally has the game.
And I am show me, which means until he does it, I'm not going to predict he's going to throw for 280, 290, 300 yards.
So what state are you?
What?
What state are you?
Show me.
What state?
Missouri.
Bang, Missouri. I weirdly knew that, so I wanted to see if you knew it. All right, so Tandler and I disagree on Kirk. We talked about this. We're not doing Rob Kelly this week because there's some question about the injury. Even if he plays, he might be a little more limited than normal. So we're doing Chris Thompson, but to make it more fun, we're doing his total offensive yards. So rushing and receiving, the total is 75. I'm going over. Tandler, what say you?
I'm going over also because of the Rob Kelly factor. I think that pretty well ensures he'll get the few more touches he might need to push over that.
Before we get to our third over under, we got to remind everybody, make sure you get your survivor pool picks in. Tandler is 2-0.
Somebody in this room forgot.
In the least surprising news ever, So I don't know if I told the story of last weekend yet. So after the game Sunday night, my sister was there visiting me. My sister, after the L.A. game, my sister, start from the beginning here. My sister lives in San Diego. She came up to L.A. for the game, hung out. Afterwards, we went to San Diego for a night. I hung out with her, and in the ensuing time, I forgot to make my pick. I realized that.
But Sunday night, it was too late also.
I know.
After
the
game.
I'm an idiot.
It was already too late.
Chandler, I'm an idiot. Like, I never hide that. I'm bad at... I lose things. I don't know. I have ADD. I don't know how to describe this any better. I realize I have to make a pick.
See what I have to deal with, people.
The only thing I have left is the ugly dog Giants Lions Monday night game, and I picked the uglier dog in the fight.
The Giants.
I picked the Giants. So I.
But it is double elimination. So right. If you did forget or you did get one wrong, do not abandon hope.
My pick is in for the week already. I'll have you know.
Oh. Good for you.
Is your pick in?
No.
Well, because you'll remember.
I'll remember.
Something tells me you remembering stuff and me forgetting everything also ties back into in college when I had to keep asking professors and TAs to give me a break. The things I did back in college. All right. So don't forget the Survivor Pool. Make sure you stay tuned in after Tandler and I wrap here because this Will Brinson interview is awesome and funny. All right. Our last one. We decided not to do receivers catches because we've had trouble, not trouble, but it's hard to really pinpoint who's going to be the leading receiver so far.
Since we have no patterns. No.
There's nothing to gauge it on. So what the Redskins have done well through two games is force two turnovers.
Per game.
Yeah, they force them week one and they force them week two. So in an effort not to push, because I think if we set this at 2.5, Tandler and I would both go under. We set it at 2, which is exactly what the Redskins have done. So you either got to go over or under.
So one or fewer, 3 or more.
1 or 0, 3 or more. RT, yeah. What do you got?
I'm going under. The Raiders tend to hang on to the ball pretty well. Carr does not throw it up for grabs. And you made a good point that about Josh Norman with his shoulder.
Oh, dude, that's my point.
Okay, never mind.
You credited me. Go ahead.
Okay. Might hinder his ability to make that punch the ball out.
Yep.
Twice against the Rams.
I'm going under as well. Two turnovers against a good QB and a good running back is tough. I'm thinking about this now. I wonder if we shouldn't have set this at 1.5. I think you and I would both still go under.
Yeah.
If it was 0.5, what would you do?
I'd go over. I think that
you think they get one?
I think they'll get one somewhere along the line.
Raiders have gone 2 hours of football without one.
Then they're due in the NFL.
YDT,
days,
baby.
They're due. I mean, they're a very good team, but they're not a super team or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I think the I saw a headline or a tweet, I don't know what the hell I saw, but something about is the AFC West a historic division? And I want to be like, yo, it's 2 weeks into the season. Like, we get to week 13 and they got 2 12-1s and a 13-0 or something.
Yeah.
Different conversation.
Then we can talk.
But stop with that. I mean, and not even to get into, did you see what the NFC East was for 15 years? You know what I mean? Like, not even to consider that. But just right now, that's silly talk.
Yeah, it'll probably be silly talk in 6 weeks.
Week nine. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, come on, people.
Right. I agree.
You have Trevor Siemian and Alex Smith as two of your quarterbacks there.
All right, Tandler, before we go to Will, is there anything you want to say to the folks?
Subscribe.
Subscribe.
A lot of people are listening, which is great.
We're getting really good feedback.
We really appreciate that, get good feedback. But it's just so much simpler if you subscribe. And just take note. Now these will be getting altered slightly, our social handles, once we make the switch to NBC Sports. But, in the meantime, Rich_TandlerCSN on Twitter, TandlerCSN on Facebook.
I agree with everything you said. I don't know. I think I might just go to JP Finley on Twitter. Don't tell anybody.
I don't know if they'll let you do that.
I think I'm just going to do it. Don't tell.
Because you'll lose your blue check.
No, I won't, dude. Once you have it, it stays.
If you change your name, I don't know.
I don't either. We'll figure all that out. Need to worry about on the podcast. Tandler, prediction, Skins Raiders.
I got to go with the Raiders.
Boring.
26 No, 28-24.
I'm looking to Vegas. This is a game Vegas is going to need the Redskins to win.
So they're going to send some goons to break David Carr's leg or something?
No. Or what? Nothing like that. But there is a tendency in the world when Vegas really needs a win, especially in a primetime game, when all the money is going to be on Oakland, I think the Raiders win. I think the Redskins win this thing. I really do. I think they can throw the ball on that Oakland defense. I don't think the Oakland defense has really been tested, and I think the Skins are going to show up.
Yeah, well, off air, you'll have to explain to me exactly how Vegas makes that happen.
I think it's just a law of numbers, man. I think whenever the public really thinks one thing is going to happen, the opposite tends to happen.
And what's the line?
Last I saw, the Skins are 3-point home dogs. And you'd guess that should be higher, right?
Yeah, that's true, because it would be, it'd be 9 points in Oakland. No, I think that's probably about right.
I think, I don't, they gave us no computers, so I can't pull it up, but I think folks are going to be betting the Raiders heavy, which makes me like the Redskins.
Okay.
All right.
That's your theory.
Will Brinson theory. Coming up right now. All right, folks, as promised, I have Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Will, thank you very much for joining us, man. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always good to chat some football instead of watching this 49ers Rams game.
It's
actually high score as we record this.
I tell you what, yeah, the Thursday night hate, I'm often a part of it, yet I always watch it. You know what I mean? It's the same folks that are like up in arms about NFL ratings and stuff. I just think less people are watching TV, and that's why NFL ratings are down. People still watch all the games. Maybe I'm crazy.
I like watching this. I don't mind the Thursday football. The only thing that bugs me is that I feel like because of Thursday football being weekly, that we've sort of lost any time to and maybe it's good that this is the case, but like we've sort of lost any time to marinate on the week before.
Agreed.
So, I mean, like the Redskins and the Rams played last week, and you have 2 days to figure out what happened and move on because the Rams are playing again on Thursday. It's annoying from a fantasy football perspective.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You got to make sure you have your lineup set. And then, like, pick'em leagues, all that stuff. Some of that stuff locks on Thursday, and then you're screwed on Sunday if something changes. For me, the ideal scenario would be Thursday football starts on Thanksgiving and goes through the rest of the year. Because by then, there's interesting matchups, and it'd be cool.
Yeah, and then you could even – I guess you can't flex Thursday stuff, but it is true. It's like every – I don't know. It felt like when football wasn't on Thursdays, I'd be like, man, it'd be awesome to have football every Thursday. And now that it's here, you're like, all right, I could deal with like maybe wanting it and having to wait until Sunday a little bit, especially because there's usually some kind of matchup on Thursday for – you know, college that you can watch. I mean, not like, was it USF and Temple is on right now? Not like that's better, but I mean, you know.
It's a lot easier to throw $20 on some dumb Thursday night college football bet because, you know, like a Thursday night NFL game, I'm going to sit there and analyze, and it's just an entirely different situation for me and probably for you too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, like I drew the short straw and knew I would be, you know, quote unquote on tonight, writing any news stories and stuff like that. And when you see when the marquee says 49ers Rams, you're not exactly enthralled about that concept. You know what I mean?
That is a woof of a game. I mean, I feel like Thursday night is always like Niners, Rams, Jags, Titans, you know, just kind
like
of
Jets,
like just games, Jets, Bills, like all Bengals, Browns. I haven't even looked, but I bet Bengals, Browns is on a Thursday night this year.
I would almost guarantee it. If not, they should flex it to a Thursday night just to get it out of the way.
That game, the Battle of Ohio, should be Thursday flexed.
Cleveland's the better Ohio team this year,
We just had to make picks on our game plan TV show. I just picked the Browns as a road favorite in Indy. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, they haven't been favored since 2015 in any game.
That's nuts.
And they're 1.5 point. It's up to like 1.5 now. I picked the Browns, too. I don't really feel good about it. It flies in the face of logic, but I feel like they're the better team against the Colts. So I'm going to roll with it, but it is.
They put up good fights in their games.
My buddy Blaine has this say it out loud test. I've copped it, but I mean, it's like, I'm taking the Browns as a road favorite in week 3. Like, it doesn't pass the say it out loud test.
when you say it out loud, you're right. That but I mean, this Colts team is also terrible. So you got to remind yourself of that. Let's get to the game that our listeners are most focused on, which is Skins Raiders Sunday night at FedEx Field. I think it's going to be a fun one. Before we deep dive into the Skins, I'm wondering what you can tell me about the Raiders. And specifically, I want to know how you think the Redskins can beat them defensively.
Well, you know, if you look at it, I think the Redskins are actually a pretty decent matchup for the Raiders from a defensive perspective, mainly because, you know, look, Josh Norman limited Wednesday, I think, or maybe even limited Thursday. Assuming that Josh Norman and Breshad, you know, Breland can play, then I think they've got a pair of cornerbacks that can match up with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, at least, you know, better than,
yeah,
you know, like the Jets
on the service,
right?
Level, I mean, for sure.
Like, I'm not saying they can lock him down, but they've got guys that can match up with him.
Well, and Norman told me both days in the locker room that guy's playing. Now, is he maybe a little limited with the shoulder? Maybe, yeah. But he's going to be on the field, especially a primetime game.
Right, and even if Norman is even if he's a little slowed down, it's not the worst thing in the world, because I would assume that he might even draw the Crabtree assignment, because Crabtree's the bigger physical guy, right?
That could make sense, yeah.
You know, but he's not as fast. Like, Crabtree's fast, but he's not as fast. He's not as down the field fast as Amari Cooper. So maybe Norman draws the Crabtree assignment, or maybe they probably don't even trail him anyway. And you just hope that he can limit Crabtree in the red zone. If you do that, I mean, golly, he had 3 touchdowns last week. He's a beast in the red zone. You force them to run with Marshawn Lynch, and you stack the box against them. And you just got to try and get some pressure, because Derek Carr, you watch these games that the Raiders play, and, I mean, this guy is just – he's just sitting in clean pockets all day long.
That O-line is great.
Yeah, it really is. It might – I mean, I don't want to do a disservice. I mean, I think the Raiders are up there with the Cowboys. They might be a better pass-blocking team than the Cowboys, too. Maybe the Cowboys are a better run-blocking team. But, I mean, Oakland has a really good offensive line, and – It's doing a lot of good work for Carr. And it shows you, too, like Carr and Dak Prescott, you know, developing what a good Marcus Mariota, too, what a good offensive line can do for a young quarterback to really take steps.
For sure. And the Skins have a good offensive line. They're not in the conversation for these great ones. But, I think, is it Osemele is playing fantastic for them. Whoever that left tackle is playing really well for them. I think, man, a little bit, and I think it's just because he's a fun guy, he's kind of easy to root for, but a little bit of the Marshawn Lynch is outpacing the actual production. I mean, last week against the Jets, he averaged less than 4 yards a carry and had 45 yards. Now, maybe that would have been different had they needed it. They were up big and probably took the foot off the gas. But, I mean, even the first week against the Titans, he had 18 carries for 76 yards. It's nothing to write home about, and the Skins' defense has been good against the run so far this year. They shut Philly down pretty much completely week one, and then Todd Gurley didn't gain a lot of yards on the ground. He did some damage through the air, but the Skins' defense is better. I think you're totally right. It's about getting to Derek Carr and getting him down to the ground.
Yeah, and I will say this about Marshawn. I think when you watch him, I think he looks better when you watch him than his numbers would suggest. And remember, part of Marshawn's thing when he was in Seattle is that, he's just one of those guys, like an old-school running back, who the more you feed him and the more he goes, the better he gets. The more he wears down the defense, the stronger he can run. And he hadn't had to do that yet, mainly because, you know, Oakland's been in situations where – and people were even questioning why they weren't having Marshawn out there to really ice out the Titans. I think that the Raiders are really intent on – limiting, I mean, he's only had 30 carries through 2 games.
Right.
You know, they're intent on not wearing this guy down at the beginning of the season. So that kind of works to your advantage a little bit if you're the Redskins. You know, you maybe assume that when Marshawn is on the field, I haven't looked at his snap counts, but I'm pretty sure that he's on there for most of the runs. When he's on the field, that you really load the box and try and stop the run. You limit the big plays. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a Redskins team that can slow the Raiders down offensively. I like the Redskins in this game. I think they're
+3 was last
I
saw.
And Oakland a little overvalued, at least against the spread.
So I agree with you, and I think much like the Rams last week for the Skins, the Rams had just blown out the Colts, a terrible team. The Rams were a pretty sexy pick last week. I remember one of the players, I think it might have been Junior Gallette or it might have been DJ Swearinger, posted a screen grab of the NFL Network where every expert picked the Rams in that game. And I have a feeling a lot of experts are going to be picking Oakland in this game. They just throttled the Jets 45-20. Skins kind of snuck away with a win in L.A. Raiders are 2-0, and they were so good last year. You can't take away from that. And I think they were a real – they could have been a real contender had Carr not gotten hurt before the playoffs. But I think the Skins should be able to attack this Oakland defense both on the ground and through the air. I'm curious your thoughts. I don't know how much you've been able to see, but I know you're plugged in around the league. What you've thought of the Redskins offense and then of Kirk Cousins in particular so far?
Well, I mean, they haven't been great. You know, I don't think Kirk Cousins has completed a pass over 20 yards yet.
He has not. I wrote about that earlier this week.
He led the league in deep passing yards last year. Look, you lose DeSean Jackson, you lose Sean McVay, and you watch the difference in Jared Goff with how he's playing. He's completed, I mean, I think he's up to like 8 deep balls through this game on the season. And you do sort of wonder if those things are having an effect. And I think that, you know, a lot of times it's better to ignore the preseason and what you see. I think what we saw from the Redskins was a reality in the preseason. And I'm not saying that this is that the offense can't be good or won't be good. I guess my point is more that the Redskins looked sort of discombobulated and out of sync. And what we'd been used to was this team that had been together for a while, right? I mean, Cousins, yeah. Garcon, DeSean Jackson, Sean McVay, you know, 2 years of continuity where these guys are playing together, growing together, right? And I remember the McVay was asked about Cousins this offseason, and he said, look, you know, this guy and I were on the same page. What I was seeing, he was seeing. And that makes a huge difference. And you look at the stuff that's going on with the Giants and the struggles that they're having in terms of, you know, Ben McAdoo calling the plays and Jay Gruden's doing the same thing. You wonder if, you know, how much of this is the coach being overburdened? How much of this is, you know, this Redskins team really trying to find its stride together? Because they didn't have that much time. I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins is trying to find, you know, his timing and his rhythm with Terrell Pryor, who, by the way, just transitioned to wide receiver like 2 years ago from being a quarterback. So it's not easy. And I think they missed DeSean Jackson. I think there is a lack of continuity, and you almost wonder if these first two games maybe weren't sort of like the Panthers did in terms of, you know, building up Cam Newton and his throwing. If this weren't sort of an extended preseason for the Redskins, now they don't have the luxury of being, you know, 2-0. They are 1-1. That's huge. And you would think that this Raiders game is a potential. You know, we're home. You know, we're on prime time, our first primetime game. We're against a team that everybody thinks is going to win and everybody's picking, but maybe doesn't have the greatest defense in the world. Let's get some protection up front. If Morgan Moses is healthy and ready to go and Trent Williams is there, I think they can slow down that pass rush from Oakland. And then all of a sudden you get those timing routes and you find some open guys. And, yeah, I think this is maybe a get-right game for that Redskins offense.
Well, and it's also they know how important this one is, and there's a lot of excitement around it. I don't know if you saw Terrell Pryor's comment that he plans on being dominant this season, and it starts with Oakland. I found that one interesting. But Pryor's,
that's his old team, too.
Right, and Pryor is a super alpha male. I don't know if you've encountered him much, but he's he's certainly nice enough, but he means business all the time, and he is really expecting to break out this year, and it hasn't happened, and I know he will be looking for it Sunday night under the bright lights. You're right, though, that the offense just hasn't looked right. Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins during the week sounded off about, hey, we're close, we have faith in the guys, and with that as the backdrop, when you go back and rewatch, and I've rewatched these damn games, and they're close, man, they really are. I mean, if Chris Thompson catches that pass last week in against the Rams, Cousins' numbers look way better, and the score, the result, isn't nearly as close. Now, Thompson had a great game. I'm not knocking Chris, but he himself said, I got to catch that ball. Terrell Pryor's had some drops. Kirk has missed a lot of throws, too. I think if they can play better, just a little bit better across the board, O-line, clearly Khalil Mack is just a threat at all times. And, you know, the O-line plays better. Kirk plays a little better. The receivers play a little better. This game, I think, is quite winnable.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, it's a home game under the lights, and you're an underdog. It's weird, too, because there's There's 9 home underdogs this week across the NFL.
That's crazy in the NFL, man. That's a lot.
Is. I mean, that's more than a quarter of the league. That's bananas. And I don't know if it's something where there's just a bottom tier of teams or, you know, Vegas is trying to account for.
They also might not know yet.
Teams or what it is.
You know, they also, just like you and I, they don't know what teams are yet. It's still too early in the season.
Yeah, sure. So maybe it's a market correction. Like, you know, if you put Pittsburgh at 3.5 at Chicago, could you find anyone to take the Bears?
Right. It's got to be way more.
You know, but yeah. Like you put it at 7 and, you know, people are going to at least be interested. But it's weird. Like Arizona's +3 at home. I mean, Sunday and Monday night teams, Arizona and Washington, 2 1-1 teams that haven't looked good, but haven't been just terrible. Well, maybe the Cardinals have been just terrible. Our dogs to Oakland and Dallas, I guess 2 public favorites. So, yeah, I mean, this is a winnable game for Washington.
I agree.
I don't think is Rob Kelly going to play? He's not going to play, right?
He's going to play, man. He's told me on consecutive days he's going to play, and he's hurt. He allows that he's hurting. It's a rib cartilage injury, so typically with ribs, the only thing you can do is rest. He's not going to rest. Kelly was running well against the Rams. I think he'll be out there. I wonder how effective he will be. But the Skins they're not dummies, man. If he can't go, they're not going to let him play, and they'll let Samaje Perine. They trust Mac Brown. And Chris Thompson is giving this team so much, maybe he gets a few more carries. You can't give him too many touches. Jay Gruden has said, you know, we can't lean on Chris too much because that could take away from his explosiveness, which they still really need.
Yeah, and what's he had?
He's got 3 touchdowowns in 2 games.
Yeah, but he's got 13. He's got 13 touches on the season, I think, right now, and like 3 touchdowns.
Right. Oh, dude, and I bet the yardage is nutty because last week,
he averaged like 25 yards a carry last week, or 25 yards a catch last week, or something like that.
Right. I mean, well, last week he had the big run. It was the week before was. All right, so on the season right now, he's got 61.
He's averaging 11.6 yards per catch.
And 13.5 yards per carry. I mean, that's nuts. Right,
yeah,
I mean, he's got 160 yards on 18 touches.
Yeah.
That's wild. Are you telling people to play him in fantasy yet?
No, I was thinking about picking him up in a league. It's like an auction league, but it's. I think he's a great player, but my thing is, like, unless it's like a really, really deep league, I'm not going to want to play him just because he's going to be touchdown dependent because of the volume that he's getting. And, you know, he's going to get like six to 8 looks a game, but you don't know how they're going to pan out. And you don't know exactly how it's going to work. And like you said, Gruden's talking about you can't completely trust him. I mean, I'm picking him up where I can because he's explosive as hell. But
right.
I just don't think you can trust him as like anything more than a desperation flex situation. Although, if you got David Johnson and Greg Olsen and your players are down and you need fill-ins, I mean, he's the guy you would play.
Yeah, for sure. I want to do this. So Rich Tandler, who's on the podcast with me, he and I do a thing where we do our over-unders each week. So give me yours. Yeah. Kirk Cousins, over under 265 pass yards against the Raiders.
That's a good number.
Yeah, so
I will take.
Go ahead.
I'll take over because I think with Rob Kelly a little banged up, they're gonna try and I think that it'll be the chess checkers match will unfold like this where the Raiders would like to stack the line. Think that the Redskins are going to try and soften them up with Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine, and instead the Redskins are going to try and get Kirk going with some rhythm early on, make those short throws, those quick throws, scheme some guys open, take a shot downfield to Terrell Pryor. Yeah, I mean, I'll take the over at 265.
All right, I took the over as well. I think this is the game Kirk gets right. I also think the Skins, I asked Jay about this earlier in the week, they've got to run more play action. Gruden said they've been running it, they just haven't been hitting it. Maybe this is the week they can get that going. All right, next one, Chris Thompson, 75 total yards.
75 total
yards. Rushing and receiving, no kick return stuff.
Yeah. Just yards from scrimmage. I will say he's averaging, if he's getting 6 touches a game and he's averaging.
He's right around 80 a game.
He's right around 80 yards a game. Let's see, he gets two rushes and four receptions. I'll take the under, but just barely. I'll say he gets 70.
Ooh, all right, all right. Which, to me, if you're taking the under on that, thinks you would make me think that you think Rob Kelly is going to be able to be effective.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense with my Kirk Cousins there.
That's all good, dude. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot anyway. All right, this one is tricky, and we made this one hard. The Redskins defense has had two takeaways per game through the first 2 weeks, so four total. The Raiders have not given up a takeaway all season. Over under Redskins takeaways at two.
Can I say push? I think they get two.
No, so we made this two exactly, so you couldn't say push.
Oh, so you have to go over, you have to go under.
Right,
okay, yeah,
yep.
No, pop out on push.
I mean, you can say push whatever you want, hard, but yeah.
I'll take the over. I think I just think that when you look at, first of all, they play the Jets, right? The Jets don't count.
Right.
The Jets are terrible, and the Jets kind of stayed in that game a little bit. It was 14-10, I think, but then some bad plays from New York, and the Raiders just kind of pulled away. You're not going to see the ball turned over in there. I think Tennessee's defense might be a touch overrated as well. Or not overrated. People are expecting a little more out of it. But they were just kind of careful with the ball and got some easy looks. So, and like they got that onside kick to start the game. So I will say over, thinking it's banking on, but I'm banking on the Redskins winning. So I'm kind of leaning on the idea that the Raiders have to give them a few looks.
No, I think that's fair. I say under. I think they get one. I don't know that they get two.
Well, I think they get two, but I can't push, so I have to take over.
Right. All right, fair enough, man. This is the last thing. I know you got to run. What would be your NFC East power rankings? Because you got three teams tied at 1-1 at the top, and then to me, a pretty big surprise is how bad the Giants have been, but these are your power rankings, not mine.
Oh, no, 100%. I didn't think they were going to be great, but I didn't think they would be this bad at all. I got the Eagles at one, which is where I had them to start the season. I thought they would win the division. I think they've looked probably the most dangerous defensively of any team in the division. Carson Wentz has looked pretty good, although some people hate the dude, some people love the dude. Alshon Jeffery.
I think Wentz
really,
is a player, man. I don't get the anti-Wentz situation.
I don't get people that don't like him.
Right.
Like, I don't get it. Like, what do you want out of your quarterback?
Here's what I'll say after watching him week one. I think he's better on the move than he is in the pocket right now, but
yeah,
he's also in his second year out of North Dakota or North Dakota State. Forgive me if I don't know which one it is.
It is North Dakota State. Yeah,
he'll learn that stuff.
I don't know if there is in North Dakota.
Oh, really? Who's the Fighting
Sioux? I'm sure there is.
Yeah, either way, right.
It's definitely North Dakota State, and I think, how many times did he throw the ball last year? He had 630-something attempts out of college.
With no receivers last year.
Yeah, he had no receivers, but he threw 607 last year. So, I mean, he's still under 1,500 career passing attempts at college and at the college and pro level.
That's nuts.
That's not many, yeah. I mean, so this is a guy that's still developing and still learning in the pocket. You knew he'd be a little raw. You see some of the plays he makes on the move, and they are just astounding. I'm with you. I think he... You know, I think that he is better on the run and when he's mobile. But I mean, he's going to get better in the pocket. Like he clearly is improved from year to year. And they gave him Jeffrey, they gave him Torrey Smith. Nelson Aguilar has actually stepped up pretty well. Zach Ertz has quietly been top five tight end this year, and they got a nice offensive line. You know, the running game isn't really there, but yeah, to me, the Eagles are clearly number one, and I like Wentz as a player.
That defensive front seven, man, with Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan, that is a tough, tough crew.
Derek Barnett looks like a really good pick so far.
Barnett reminds me of Kerrigan a lot. I think those two are good comps that I don't see Barnett ever breaking through with a 16-sack season, but I think he can give you 11 for 7 years, just like Ryan Kerrigan's on track to do.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, especially at like 14th overall, right?
For sure, yeah, and that's about where Kerrigan was. I don't remember offhand, but I swear it was right in there.
I think it was 14th. Was Kerrigan? What draft was Kerrigan? Was he the 2011? Is that right?
He was certainly before RG3. He's 29.
He was 2011. They took him in, right?
Because he was a Shanahan draft pick, so it was certainly – yeah, so this is his 7th year.
He was the guy they took when the Jaguars traded up to get Gabbert, and the Redskins traded back.
And people thought Shanny wanted Gabbert, which, they made the right call.
Good, Good pass on that.
All right, so you got the Eagles number one in the NFC East. So Eagles he was 16th overall in 2011. Sorry.
What's that?
Kerrigan was 16th overall in 2011.
Yeah. All right. Cowboys 2. I think people are panicking a little bit on the Cowboys, a little too much on the Cowboys. I know the Zeke stuff is probably weighing on them, but they were 1-1 at this time last year, too.
Right.
And Zeke didn't have crazy stats. He'd scored twice, but he didn't have more than 85 rushing yards in a game. And, you know, nobody was like, oh, this guy's a bust or anything, but they were, you know, it's like, all right, you know, slow start for Zeke. He scored, but, you know, people weren't exactly. You know, he didn't come out of the gates and lead the league in rushing yards in the first 2 weeks, is all I'm saying.
Right, I gotcha.
They can get right. Their defense is a problem, for sure. I would say the Redskins are 3. A big game on Sunday night. You know, look, if Sunday and Monday, I would flip these two. If Dallas loses in Arizona and Washington wins, I'd put Redskins 2.
Certainly.
You know, because they're A, they're 2-1, and B, they look better against a better team, presumably. And then the Giants, to me, are pretty distant 4th, honestly. I'm not sure they're a very good football team, and not like that's a hot take opinion. They look terrible in the offensive line. Eli looks like he might be washed.
The defense has some age to it too. I mean, that's the thing when you go free agent shopping to make the difference, like they did last year, you're going to end up with older dudes.
Yeah, for sure. And they did the Redskinsy thing last year.
Yep, the old Redskinsy thing. That hasn't been the actual case in a while, but yeah, certainly it's still the perception. Yeah.
But like the Redskins are the team you would expect to go out and shop for all the free agents, and the Giants have never done that, and they did it, and I thought it was going to burn them last year, and it somehow didn't, and then they just sort of stood pat this year. That offensive line is a problem around the NFL. Well, it's a real problem for the Giants right now. They can't protect Eli, and it doesn't matter what weapons you have, and Odell's not right, and the defense, even though it was like top five in the NFL and number 2, I think, in DVOA at Football Outsiders last year. It was also like 26th in terms of consistency. And that's sort of a red flag, right? It's easier to be consistent on offense than it is on defense. And if you are the Giants and you're just assuming that this group of defenders is going to, you know, perform at that same level, well, then you need to improve the offense to maintain that consistency. They didn't do it, and they don't look like a good team.
Yeah, and them not drafting O-line is pretty nutty to me. I know Evan Ingram.
But they drafted a tight end who doesn't play on the offensive line.
I mean, he could be a good player, but come on, man. You got to protect
this guy. But at least draft O.J. Howard. Didn't they take Ingram before Howard?
They did. I believe they did.
Yeah, I mean, draft O.J. Howard and worst-case scenario, just let him chip a bunch and you have Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall there. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. Today, week 2, I think you got to go Eagles, Cowboys, Skins, Giants. I thought the Cowboys were going to have a regression this season. I still kind of do. I don't think their defense is very good. That offensive line lost 2 key pieces, which hasn't been talked about enough.
I agree.
I do like Dak. I think he's a heck of a player. Who would be your one quarterback to take out of the division? That's the tough one, is Dak or Wentz, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would probably be Dak. I go back and forth. I mean, it's obviously either Dak or Wentz. I think it would probably be Dak. I watched him play in his final college game against NC State down in Charlotte at the Belk Bowl, and I mean, he's just a beast.
He really is.
He just looks like he belongs. He doesn't look uncomfortable. I don't get the
calm in the moment.
Nothing's too big for him. I don't get the backlash. You know, you hear Jason Garrett, Dak's got to step up and make plays. Like, you made him throw 50 times. If a quarterback throws 50 times, he's probably not going to win. I mean, I looked at it.
Meanwhile, nobody's allowed to say anything about Zeke.
About Zeke just not going hard. he's loafing around. I'll say this, that when you look at their schedule, too, you know, they get the Cardinals on the road, Rams at home, Packers at home, 49ers on the road. Now, that's good. If they win the Cardinals game, and then all of a sudden they're 2-3-4, you know, 4-2, assuming they lose to the Packers. Huge game in Washington. But then Chiefs, Falcons, Eagles, Chargers, Redskins, Giants, Raiders, Seahawks, Eagles. That is a tough schedule
for
the Cowboys. It's a first-place schedule.
It's going to be interesting. I think the Skins have a huge opportunity to change their perception around the league Sunday night, and We'll kind of leave it at that because, you know, we can keep going back and forth around what we think, but this is going to be a fun one to watch. The Maryland grad in me has to ask you this, Will. How are you? You're an NC State guy, right?
I should have hung up immediately.
How are you enjoying Debbie Yao as your athletic director?
Oh, yeah. I thought you should be like, do you like Torrey Smith?
No. You know that Phil Rivers has never won in the state of Maryland?
I was there for that game, and
I think you and I might be around the same age. I graduated in 2003 from Maryland.
Yeah, so it was probably either 2002 or 2003. It was the Orange Bowl year.
That was 2002.
I mean, I don't know if you came down to Raleigh and threw a bunch of oranges on our field.
I did not.
I've never been as vitriolic, as full of vitriol as I am. And like mid-20s angst as I have in my life at that point. just Maryland fans just heaving oranges onto the field.
That's got to sting, right?
I think we missed a kick or something. Yeah, I mean, I get crap from some of my friends because I have concerns about Debbie turning Reynolds Coliseum into a $35 million Hall of Fame. I would have put the men's basketball team back in Reynolds and let them play there. A la Cameron, but that's another story for a different day.
Well, we did the same thing with Cole up here, dude. I mean, Cole is now
a practice
facility.
The impact of the long-term financials on it.
Yeah, because they play at where the hockey team plays, right?
Yeah, it's a huge, and it's great when State plays Carolina or Duke. It's really loud, but you know, on a Tuesday night game against Pittsburgh, it's just not, you know, doesn't have the gusto that a small, you know, it's tough for the students to get out there.
Right.
I don't know. Riddle, look, you'd lose a lot of money because you would have to limit the number of season tickets, but you would also guarantee a sellout at every single one of your games in just a raucous environment. And if your team got good, you know, it would be like Duke where, you know, those tickets are hard to find and few and far between and precious when you get them.
Yep. I have a feeling you and I could go ACC talk for a long time, but we're probably hemorrhaging listeners right now.
I don't know. Yeah, it's better than talking about the Niners.
Niners-Rams or these color rush uniforms that we're seeing, which are just god-awful.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like mustard against evil ketchup.
That's a good call. Will, how do folks find all your stuff, man? Twitter and websites, anything you want to tell people to look for?
Yeah, CBS Sports. Every Sunday, we got I do a Sorting the Sunday Pile column, breaking down everything from the week that was in the NFL. Twitter at Will Brinson, and then we do the Pick Six podcast. Myself, Pete Prisco, Jason Lockenfora, who's notorious around the Washington D.C. area and Maryland in general, and Nick Costos, and we have a good time on that show, so people can check that out as well.
Yeah, man, JLC, a lot of Redskins fans have a lot of thoughts on Lockenfora. He's a very good reporter. He's a very good reporter.
He is.
Well, Will, thank you so much for coming on, man. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, JP, man, anytime, buddy.
Cool.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.